it's never black and white, right? So, like, I think if you're talking Andy Reid, Bill Belichick, John Harbaugh, Kyle Shanahan, these schemes and cultures are good enough to get you to the playoffs most years. But what actually gets you all the way to the finish line? That's, to me, where the great quarterback comes into play. Is Bill Belichick a really good coach? Obviously. Obviously. But Tom gets you to the ring. That's what he did in Tampa also. That's what Patrick does for Andy. Andy has been a successful head coach with many quarterbacks. So has Kyle. Because they have great cultures. They're great coaches with great systems. But what wins the 37-34 game in the Super Bowl at the end when it's a score fest? Patrick. Patrick, to me, not by himself, is a bigger deal than the coach. This is true across sports to me. The players are the ones who have to go make the plays. And when you have a great one at the most important position, then that's what gets you. That's what often makes the difference in the fourth quarter or overtime of those games in January and February.
So it's more Brock than it is Kyle.
It is. If they're going to win, they haven't won the whole thing yet.
Right, but so far, Kyle, like, how would you carve up that pie? Because, well, Kyle went there with Jimmy, right, and now Kyle's gone there with
as
Brock,
I said,
and
so,
they both wound up in the same spot.
Well, but I don't look at it that way because they're not the same years.
Right.
The different things are asked of you.
Brock's team was better than Jimmy's
agreed,
team.
Agreed. I look at this last February as a bigger disappointment than the one 5 years ago. Not even close. Not even close.
And that one goes on Kyle, but not on Brock.
No, it goes on everybody.
Right,
it
so
goes
I'm just wondering
everybody.
Where the pie is divided.
Brock is nowhere near as far into his career as Patrick
but
is.
But you've given a bigger piece of the pie to Tom than you did to Bill, even though
yes,
they won five together and then Tom won the sixth.
Right,
and
but because we've gone all the way through the career and we've got a lot more information and data on that. It is my belief that Brock Purdy will win a Super Bowl. He's had two shots through the playoffs, and one time the arm fell off. And the other one, they had an incredibly awful, damaging, disappointing loss.
Mm, yeah.
After two very impressive come-from-behind victories in the playoffs. But yes, it is my belief that to succeed in January and February, that's to me where the quarterback gets a bigger piece of the pie. In order to get there, to work through a regular season, set the table, the culture, and the plan, that's where the coach gets a bigger piece of the pie. That's just the way I see it.
Yeah. Okay. So, like, this game, Andy and Kyle, Brock and Mahomes, it's more about the coaches because it's a regular season game than it is about the quarterbacks.
No, now you made it about one game. I'm talking about
I'm just trying to, like, crystallize it into Sunday. Like,
right, but that's, yeah.
And
no,
you said that this is a big game, and you said that this is
a very big game.
Yeah, so, like, I'm wondering where, like, the responsibility lies for this big game where you've got the Niners off a mini bye and Kansas City off a big bye, and you've got, you know, Mahomes with the three rings and Purdy with the zero, and I'm wondering where we look at the pressure points for this game.
Oh, on everybody. I feel like you're trying to kind of pin me into a black and white, like Kyle and that. No, like all of it's everybody. I just think it tilts a little bit when you get into January and February, and that's where great players take you to the finish line. You know, it's like we were talking about the other day. Go across sports. There's all kinds of scenarios where you had teams that were really good and consistently good, but they never got all the way to the end. The Buffalo Bills, the Patrick Ewing, the Reggie Miller, you're really good. You're gonna perform every year. You're going to get close to the end, but are you going to get over the top? Well, that's where the player comes in. That's where Michael Jordan got in your damn way, Reggie and Patrick, because he's better. And that's what happens, I think, right now in the NFL to a lot of these quarterbacks, to Lamar and to Josh Allen, and so far, in one try, Brock Purdy, because Patrick is that great. So if you want to make this about Andy versus Kyle, my answer is they're both great. They're both going to call great plays this weekend. They're both great.
Well, it's always about the players, and except when you look at last year in Baltimore against Kansas City, that for me was about the coaching because Baltimore had a terrible game plan, and they set about to not run the ball, even though they were the number one rushing offense in football, and they chose not to run it, and they gave Kansas City every opportunity to win that game. And you could look at last year in the Super Bowl and Kyle choosing to take the ball in overtime, which told Mahomes, guess what? You're now in four down territory, so you took a team that is probably has the best quarterback in football, and you're giving him four downs as opposed to three every time, because you know when you give them the ball second that they're going to be in four down territory, and they were. So you basically told your defense, you don't get to just defend for three downs. Now you have to defend for four downs every time. And that's where Kyle will probably never admit that he was wrong. But as we've all looked back on it, most of us anyway, you look at what he did, you empowered the comeback kid and you gave him an extra down every time. So you could say that it's not about the coaches at that spot or it's about the players.
Oh, it's always about everybody. But yeah, it's always about everybody.
He got outcoached. He outcoached himself in the biggest possible spot. He made a huge mistake, and they lost.
That's my opinion. That's probably the wrong decision. Yeah, that's fair. Will in the East Bay. Hi, Will. Thanks for waiting. What's up?
Oh, hey. How you guys doing?
Hi, Will.
Hey, Will.
Got my aquarium clean. Thanks, guys.
You got it. That's big. You got it. That's big. Yeah, that's a terrible job. I hate it. I hate that job when I used to have fish.
It sucks.
Yeah,
you know,
terrible.
But I'll tell you, it's the easiest fish I ever caught. Hey, Dibs, good job yesterday, you know, making Cosell go Switzerland. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, thank you. I felt good about it.
Good. Hey, listen, just real quick. I think this offense is trending up. And I think with Shanahan's game plan, even against a good defense, I think there's a very high probability that they're going to be effective Sunday. I remember a few years ago, the Raiders traveled to Kansas City and they played a game. And this is a typically mediocre Raider team. But the one thing about that game, and the Raiders won that game pretty handily, was on defense. None of the linemen, the linebackers, that whole team on defense, they kept their space. You know, they stayed in their lane. And the one thing they did with Mahomes, they wouldn't let him get outside. They wouldn't let him take off inside. They kept their space. But they also put pressure on. There's a fine line between putting that pressure on, but at the same time, maintaining, you know, your integrity of where you are on the field in regards to your position. My point is, if they can do that, the defense, I think it's going to really, really play into them having a victory on Sunday. And the other thing is, you know, and to sound totally redundant, you got to do something about number 95. And that Super Bowl, they were a number 95 away from winning that Super Bowl. And we all know that. So, but like I said, I mean, that's the way I see this game playing out. It's more, you know, how they can perform on defense. And I appreciate you guys taking my call, as always.
Well, yeah, Will, thanks.
Yeah, Will.
Congrats on the fish. Yeah, but
easiest fish he's ever caught.
I tell you
what, got it at the pet store.
Congrats. Yeah, that's easy. You just pull out a credit card and poof, it's yours. Yeah, he's sort of reminding me of the Eagle game last year for the 49ers. They played an incredibly disciplined game on defense, and Jalen Hurts looked awful because of it. Patrick's a better quarterback than Jalen Hurts. That's going to be a bigger assignment, and it's harder to do without as many good players like Dre Greenlaw, for example, not out there. But yeah, that sounds like a really good assignment to me. Not done yet at all. We'll keep taking your calls. Kyle Shanahan's press conference, you'll get to hear that in full. The Emmanuel Acho comments on Steiny and Goo around the corner as well. We're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Springwater, Willard and Dibs.
A little runt, and a little runt is going to be on his ass.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Because I know big people. I remember FDR. Now that was a president.
This guy's a little runt.
This guy's a little runt.
And a little runt is going to be on his ass.
6'2", 225, he's a runt. I remember quarterbacks in my day. Norm Van Brocklin, now that's a man.
Jesus Christ.
Bob Greasy. Now that's a real big guy. That's a man right
what
there.
What are we doing here?
Might be your best impression ever.
This guy's a little runt.
I've been working on it. I love my Kurt.
Problem is, nobody knows who you're impersonating. But
I'm talking about Kurt the caller, who calls every day to call Patrick Mahomes a little runt. He's a little runt.
This guy's a little runt. And a little runt is going to be on his ass.
And the key is the way he leads up to runt, like it's a four-letter word, which it is. And it rhymes with hunt, with an H.
Oh, God, that made me skip a beat.
Of course it did.
Holy crap.
And you know
what? You better be careful.
You know what the Niners don't want to do against the Chiefs? They don't want to punt.
This guy's a little runt.
And that's also a four-letter word. And you know what teams need to do more in baseball, Mark? Like the old teams? They need to bunt.
This guy's a little runt.
Okay? That's all it works. It all works for the bit. And I'm Kurt. And I tell you what about Mahomes.
See, and a little runt is going to be on his ass.
He's going to be on his ass, which is a three-letter word, and I got some of those too. But I prefer the four-letter ones that rhyme with runt. I'm done here.
You good?
I'm done. Okay. I'm trying to think of another one. There's one more I can use.
No, yeah, let's not.
But I might lose my job.
Yeah, when you said runt rhymes with, my whole body, the little thing. Like,
that's what I do, Mark. Yeah. It's called edgy comedy.
I like that you you call me Mark.
Thank you.
That's good.
Kurt, you can call anytime.
Anytime. I do think it's very funny. Of all the things.
I felt good about it.
Yeah, no, it was really well executed.
Appreciate it.
Of all the things that somebody who watches Patrick Mahomes, you call him Kermit the Frog.
Mm-hmm.
You could get mad at the whole, like, Brittany, Taylor, Travis, whatever, oop-de-doop-de thing. Now you can get into politics if you want. I think the last thing that would ever cross my mind is, guy's a little runt.
Totally.
The last thing that would cross my mind.
Agreed.
But anyway, here we are.
And Kurt's called three times with the same take, and 888-957-9570.
Wide open.
I can take one more of those.
All guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands guest line. Isn't it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands and Lathrop? We will go to the phones to talk to our friend Gene in Oakland. Hi, Gene. What are you doing?
I'm driving home now. A little concerned. Dibs, you said there's smoke? Because I live not far from you, actually. And I lived through the 91 fire, so I would get a little nervous when people say they see smoke.
Five-alarm fire, Gene. 580 in Keller. It looks like we've got a lot of containment, and things are starting to look a lot better for those of us who live in the east portion of Oakland. But it was really scary for a couple hours there.
All right, good. That feels a lot better. I mean, I had to evacuate Ben back then and then worry all night whether my house was going to survive. So I have a lot of sort of terrifying memories of that time. Anyways, all right, look, quick one on your picks, Dibs. A few weeks back, I decided to start following your picks on a Monday night pick you had, and I even changed my pick to do it, and you lost, and then I lost, of course.
Boy.
A week later, I was hearing all these people say you should pick the opposite of Dibs, so I did, and you won, and I lost again. However, this last Monday, I decided to stay with that plan. I went against, pick the opposite, pick the Bills. And in my pool, I also picked 41 as the over-under. And I won $160. So thank you, Dibs.
You're welcome.
Sort of a backhanded way.
Cast me out one time!
Well, stay tuned for my Niners pick. I've got a lock on the Niners and Chiefs that you're going to love, Gene.
Gene, this is what I would say. I'm going to make a rhyme out of it so that you won't forget. You need to commit to the bit. Commit to the bit. It's not going to work if you pick and choose. I'm going to go with Dibs on a Thursday. I'm going to go against him on a Monday. This is a long play. It's not a short play. Commit to the bit. If you're going to do this, the bit's called fade to Dibbers. Mm. You go against Dibs, and then over the long haul, you put away a college fund. That's how it works. Okay, Gene?
Can I say a quick one on the on Shanahan and our quarterback?
Of course you can.
The upcoming game here.
Yeah,
you're
okay,
allowed to.
So listen, I'm kind of leaning I'm leaning your way this too, Dibs. I'm not worried about Purdy. I think he's got enough experience and he's got the presence of mind and the toughness and focus to get us through these fourth quarters where we tended to melt. I'm more concerned about Kyle. I think he's got a sphincter problem. We're in the biggest games and the biggest moments. And so you know, I mean, there it is. I hope finally we get over Kansas City, and if we do, maybe Kyle will get over his sphincter problem, and maybe at that point we'll be ready for a Super Bowl.
Gene, thanks. Appreciate it. Is it a sphincter problem?
That's the same as lemon booty. So
yeah,
he puckers. He tightens.
Does he?
He clenches.
Does he? Do you actually see that? And you know what I mean. Go past.
Do we have a camera? Like the Super Bowl, they have cameras on everything.
Okay, but you know what I'm getting at.
I do.
I understand that there have been leads lost. Do you actually believe when you look at the plays that are called and you look at the way the games unfold, it is because Kyle Shanahan gets scared?
No.
Okay.
At times he gets too loose. And this is where I have a problem, and I take issue with a lot of fans who want to question play calling, because you question play calling when the play doesn't work. And I think about the Super Bowl last year, and it was, what, third down, and I don't even have the down and distance, but you've got a third down play where if you can throw a pass and score a touchdown, you don't win the game, but that's good, and you would force Kansas City yes. to then match you with a touchdown. Right. And you got a third down play, and you design a play that looks like it might work if blocked correctly, and your right guard goes the wrong way, and the Kansas City Chiefs' best defender comes in on a free rush and blows up the play, and then you settle for a field goal. Now, should they have gone for it on fourth down? I don't think so, because you put three on the board in overtime, and you hope that your defense, that the reason why you took the ball in the first place, I'm told, is that your defense was gassed. And so you wanted to give your defense a little bit of a break, so you took the ball, and you gave your defense a chance to rest and recover. And you think, okay, if you can at least hold them to a field goal, now we've got sudden death double overtime, and now maybe we can do something else. So I don't think that the Super Bowl loss was a puckering, sphincter, lemon booty, play-calling issue. It came down to execution. And your guy blew an assignment, and you didn't get a touchdown, and then your defense got, well, they kind of got gashed. Kansas City went.
They kind of did. I mean,
they kind of did. They forced a fourth down.
Yep. But, I mean, it was very, very easily converted.
Right. And then, you know, from then on, it was just bippity-boppity-boop
right
and
field.
Game over.
Yep.
So.
Yep, exactly. All right, 888-957-9570. We will continue to take calls. But we would love for you to hear what Kyle Shanahan had to say today. And there was a lot of newsy developments and also thoughts from Kyle that we found important from his meeting with the media today. So take a listen. Here's Kyle Shanahan, who, as always, starts off with the injury report.
Injuries for the game. Matt Wright will be out. Jake Moody will be out. Juwan Jennings will be out. Kevin Givens, questionable. Luter, questionable. And Ricky will be activated full go.
What does that just mean for the spirit of the team to have Ricky back in uniform and on the field?
The guys are pumped. He's been around the guys for a while now, so it's not like he hasn't been around, but practicing all week. It's been great to see him out there. I think the guys were more real happy for him that he could get back and be a part of it, and he's had a hell of a week, and we're just pumped to get him out there with us.
You mentioned he was a little winded on Monday practice. How was he now?
Great. I mean, we were doing a walkthrough, and he was winded. So I don't think it was winded as in stamina. It was more, I think he was so excited to be out on the field and stuff and things like that, and right after we say that, because I had him break the team down, and he was a little out of breath, but I think it was more excitement than winded, since we hadn't broke a sweat yet. But he was awesome.
What can you do at this stage? Special teams, return punts, just play receiver? Like at this, you know, just this early stage, what would you feel comfortable with?
Whatever he's needed at. I mean, he's got roles on special teams. He's got a role as a receiver, and we'll see how the game unfolds. But I mean, he's healthy and ready to go.
Because he didn't get much training camp, and obviously he hasn't practiced much until now. They do have to, you know, have a snap count or some sort of workload limit.
Yeah, but we don't look. I mean, you only get so many guys up, so I mean, you put guys in what they're ready for. But you know, it's always hard with the snap count, you know, on when it's not a preseason game and things like that. But Ricky's been studying. He's beginning a ton of stuff. I know he'll get better as the year goes, so we understand that with our expectations and everything. Missing all the practice, missing some time makes it harder just schematically and everything, getting out of the huddle. But he's working his butt off to catch up. He's gotten better each day, and I know he'll get better each week.
Would he be up if Jennings was good to go?
Yes.
Jordan Mason, everything's
good to go.
Limited all week, or?
He's not today. He's full on Sunday.
How we work the kicker situation? Is obviously some gymnastics roster wise.
Matt Wright will end up going on IR. Yeah, he's hurt worse than we expected, so he can't get back. And Jake Moody is still week to week. It's high ankle sprain, so not expecting him next week either. But hopefully after the bye.
So we move Carlson up from the practice squad.
Yes.
He allowed to make a tackle.
Definitely is allowed to. But only in case of emergency. So I hope he isn't attacking anything. But if your choice is just to give up a touchdown or not, we'll always choose to not give up that touchdown. But hopefully he can stay out of harm's way.
Was Josh Dobbs the scout team quarterback during the week?
Both of them were. Yeah.
So no change, number two, number three, for this coming game?
No.
Just for housekeeping purposes, the activation for Pearsall will happen tomorrow. Does all that stuff happen on Saturday, or does that?
I believe it'll happen tomorrow. Those are things I don't totally worry about, as long as someone does it right. I think that tomorrow by 1 o'clock is when we got to do it, so I'm sure it'll be then.
Kyle, this is a super talented defense, but they also do a lot of, they're very physical at the line. They clutch and they grab. As far as explosives, what's the challenge like this week to try to get explosives against this team?
It's a huge challenge. I don't know what they're ranked right now, but they're at the tops last year, and I know they're at the tops this year. So it's their physicality, it's their back end, it's their backers, it's their scheme, it's their continuity of how long they played together. There's not a lot of holes in their defense. There's not a lot of weak areas. You know, they're good versus the run, they're good versus the pass. They're really good in the red zone and really good on third down. So we got our work cut out for us.
When was Ricky told that he would be up, and did you deliver the news? What was his reaction?
No, I wish I don't know if anyone delivered the news. I wish I could give you guys a better story. But I think, you know, he looked good on Monday. He looked even better on Wednesday. And so we kept repping him. And when you're repping guys like that, and I think he understood he was going to be up. And so there was no magical moment, but you can ask him.
You said on Friday that you expected a longer ramp up, but then you also said when he's ready, he's ready.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so I didn't want to go in him thinking like, man, I got to show everybody this on day one, day two, because they're trying to put me up right away. So there was no expectation in that way. I just wanted to see him. We hadn't seen him out there in a while going with the team. And Monday I didn't even really count just because it was still walkthrough and everything. But Wednesday he looked great, and Thursday was even better, and today's even more comfortable. So made the decision pretty easy.
Did Juwan's hip injury seem long-term?
No, I don't think it's long-term. You know, I hope he'll be ready for next week. You know, he was close this week, you know, so I'm hoping to get him back next week. All right, guys.
All right, guys. There
right,
it goes.
There's
Kyle Shanahan ready for this one. You came in today with sort of an interesting energy and some interesting thoughts with regard to Ricky Pearsall, who is going to make his NFL debut. I don't know exactly like what the role is. It would have been actually interesting to hear a little bit more about that. I know the guys are pumped.
Right.
There's an inspirational side. But, you know, and then we got the answer. Would he still be up if Juwan was up? The answer was a firm yes. But let's go further than that. Kyle, are you using him? Like, when you go to three wides, is that the guy?
That's going to be the guy.
I guess. I don't know that, but I would assume that.
Okay.
That's kind of a big deal.
It's a huge deal, but I think about what your other options are, because Debo is a full go, and Brandon Ayuk is, he's been healthy, and he's been mostly getting better after his slow start. So if you want to go to the next wide receiver, Juwan Jennings is out. We heard that from Kyle. And let's go down the list. You've got Chris Conley, who's been a little bit banged up, and even when he's been healthy, he hasn't played much. Ronnie Bell, and I'll check the snap count on Ronnie Bell since the drop, but I'm not imagining he's had more than like one target. Has he had a target since the drop, Ronnie Bell?
I don't think so.
I don't either.
Not that I can remember.
So then you get to Jacob Cowing, who's played maybe a dozen of snaps of offensive football. So what are we doing here? If we go to three wide receivers, and again, they don't do that a lot because they do a lot of two tight ends, they do a lot of two running backs, and they've done a lot this year of two running backs and two tight ends.
Mm-hmm.
So when you do go to three wide receivers, who are you going to go with? Because you don't have a lot of other wide receivers that you would turn to. And if Kansas City plays a lot of man-to-man coverage, which it seems like they do, then, you know, who would you rather have than Ricky Pearsall, a guy who is supposed to be the best route runner and the man beater and all the rest
of it. Like, I don't even know how to answer that. You know, I get what you're saying.
Play him. Play that man his football.
Never played football before at the NFL level.
On a Sunday, so never, right?
When everyone's like, well, this is what Ricky does. He's the best man beater. Is he? I don't even know if he's an NFL player.
Right.
I have no idea. I know what he's supposed to be. I know what the Niners say he is. I know that they are excited about what he brings to the fold. The fact that they are practicing him for 3 days and immediately entering him in to a huge game suggests that they are very happy with what they see. I get all that. I've also been told by people in the NFL that there are guys who just shrink when the lights come on. He never played in an NFL game before. He's never put a uniform on before.
Yeah, yeah. It's a big ask.
Yeah. I don't know what's going to happen with this guy. 888-957-9570. It would be amazing. It'd be amazing. I like what Salisbury told us. You know, get him the ball like on the first series. Light that stadium up.
Exactly.
It'd be amazing. By the way, here is what Kyle said with regard to Pearsall's role on Sunday.
Whatever he's needed at. I mean, he's got roles on special teams. He's got a role as a receiver, and we'll see how the game unfolds. But, I mean, he's healthy and ready to go.
Okay, so in other words, I ain't giving you crap.
Right.
I ain't telling you what he's going to do.
You know, we're going to start him and stuff, and we're going to target him 14 times and stuff, and, you know, he's going to be in there. I'm just looking at the snap counts for receivers not named Ayuk, Samuel, and Jennings, and I see Conley, who's played 69 snaps, 17%, Ronnie Bell, 59 snaps, 15%, Jacob Cowing, 5 snaps, 1.23%. So those three, Cowing and Bell and Conley, they've played a total of 125 total snaps at receiver.
And how many targets total for the whole group?
I'll give you that in just a second, but we know Ronnie Bell has had probably...
Three?
Oh, targets?
Yeah, targets.
Well, he's had 2 drops, so I would imagine he's had probably 8 targets. And
is that many?
I think so. Give me a second. I'll have it for you. And yeah. I don't think that Cowing's been thrown to in his 5 snaps. And Conley, Patrick Taylor has 1 target.
Okay.
And Ronnie has 3. 1 catch, 2 drops.
Oh.
Conley has 3. 1 catch, 2 otherwise. And that's the end of the targets.
6. 6 total targets.
Between Bell, Conley, and Cowing.
Right.
6 targets.
Okay.
So can we get Ricky Pearsall that many targets in the game?
Remember, there's no Jennings, too. So in theory, the number 3 role is open, which has not been the case before with those guys. Brett in San Leandro joining us here on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Brett. What's up?
Oh, I'm doing great today, and I just wanted to throw some praise on all of you at 95.7 The Game from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. It's a crazy world. And you guys keep my head out of political horse crap. And, you know, it's fun. I love you guys, all 6 of you, and all the back staff, too. You know, not equally.
Oh, well, then what are your rankings? What are your rankings,
this
Brett?
Is what I need.
Oh, geez, man. I'm going to offend people, but, for me, it's
that's what
midday.
We're going for.
I love me some Steiny and Goose. Oh, well, you want to go for that? All right. You got milk toast and weak tea in the morning. You got the Midday Masters. Love those guys. Absolutely want to. Goo is awesome. And, you know, the afternoon afterthought, you know, I love you guys, too. It's great. It's awesome.
That was tough, but fair.
For just keeping me distracted from the real world, because the real world is crazy. And you guys are doing a great job. All 6 of you and everybody in the back, I appreciate the hell out of you guys. Have a great weekend. God bless you and your kids. And I'll talk to you next week, maybe.
If you feel like it. See you later, Brad. That's amazing.
Thank you. That was good.
I'll never say
the afternoon afterthought.
I'll never again call us afternoon drive.
No.
We are afterthought drive.
Pretty good.
Yep. I'm into it.
Or the afternoon slow lane, because it's an afterthought.
Yeah.
We're just puttering along there in the far right lane.
Just, you know.
Going below the speed limit.
Bebop-a-looing along.
Putter, putter, putter. It's pretty good. Good call, though.
Sure. They're all good.
Honey, listens for 12 hours.
Yeah,
so.
I love it when people call. Love it when people call.
Do you?
I do.
Yeah, I do too.
I do.
It's fun.
I do.
Because that's one of the things, like, I pretty much know where you are in terms of a lot of the topics that we talk about, and you know where I am. And so our conversations are not totally predictable, but there's a certain rhythm to it, a back and forth. Like, you have your things, I have my things. There are things we agree upon, things we vehemently disagree upon. And it's 20 hours. I talk to you. You talk to me, you talk at me.
Mm-hmm.
That's kind of the deal. But callers, it's the ultimate curveball, because you push that button and we have no idea what callers are going to. Nobody knows. There's a unless comment that's typed in.
Unless it's your runt guy. Yeah, I know exactly what he's going to say.
And I need him.
Yeah.
Kurt, right?
Kurt.
Yeah.
This guy's a little runt.
Yeah. Is he in Hayward Hills? Is that where he's been calling from? I feel like it's Kurt in Hayward Hills. That's what I feel like the answer is, but I don't know for sure. But anyway, whatever. You got one more hour to see if you want to get into this clam bake.
Sure.
This afterthought.
The afternoon afterthought.
Yeah. 888-957-9570. Our conversation today started with, do you think the Niners are going to win because, or pick the other, the Niners are going to lose because, and fill in the blank. And I can only speak for me. I will pick the San Francisco 49ers to win this game, because they're at home, because they are the more desperate team, and usually when one team needs it more than the other, they usually in pro sports, they get it. And then the other thing that I enter into this conversation is I feel like we have overdone the idea that the Chiefs own the Niners. Do you see Brock Purdy's Niners as a different entity than Jimmy Garoppolo's Niners? I do. And if you do, then the Chiefs have only beaten the Niners one time, and it was obviously as close as can be on the biggest stage. And yes, it's a loss. You're 0-1, and you need to redeem that and all of those things. To me, it makes it feel a little bit less of kind of an overwhelming task that's coming up on Sunday.
That's one way to look at it. And, you know, there are many ways to look at it. And I don't look at any matchup as history being the ultimate dictating factor, but I do look at history as indicative of what has happened between certain people who are still here, mainly the coaches and also their quarterback and your tight end and your middle linebacker and your fullback and other guys who are here and other guys they have who are there, Chris Jones and whatnot. And so you can look at certain players who have been here for all four of those games and coaches and whatnot, and you can start to, I think, draw some lines from then to now. Now, Brock Purdy's not one of them. He played one game against Kansas City and he lost, so that's a factor, but there's many things to look at beyond the history of the matchup.
We'll take your calls. We have not gotten to the Emmanuel Acho today. He was phenomenal on Steiny and Goo, and we want to play some of that for you and react. So that's coming up next. We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. And we're brought to you by Crystal Geyser Alpine Spring Water. 888-957-9570, Willard and Dibs.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs.
Mark, do you have to be a homer on the radio?
Well, Brian, you have no idea.
Well, hold on a second.
On 95.7 The Game.
I know, it'll shock everybody. I picked the 49ers this week. I know. I've gotten some good answers on Twitter, too. I put it out there. Pick one. The Niners will win because, fill in blank. The Niners will lose because, fill in blank. I got one response from a good buddy, a mutual friend of ours, who said, well, the Niners will win if they score more points than the other team. They will lose.
Boy. Is that Kyle Madsen?
If they don't. No, it was not.
Because that's Kyle's kind of humor?
Yeah, it is.
I can just search it up. And whoever that was, they're getting blasted, because that is an absolute waste of bandwidth and internet space.
Look, it's funny. Ha ha.
Oh, it's hilarious.
It's like ha ha Clinton Dix. But at the same time, I would argue.
Careful.
That's not what I said. I said the Niners will win because, not if, not tell me what they're the Niners, like, this is a prediction.
Well, that works as a because. They would win because they scored more points than
the
other team.
Right, but a lot of people are answering it with an if. They'll win if They own the fourth quarter. They'll win if they block Chris Jones. No, no, because. I don't want an if. I want a because. Because is a prediction. Let's go to Theo in the East Bay, who I think has a very good one. Hi, Theo. Thank you for calling.
Yo, thank you, boys, for having me on the afternoon afterthought.
Uh-huh.
Like that. But, yeah, I need. I think the 49ers will win because I need them to, man. Okay. As a fan, it's just been too hard on my soul, man. Loss after loss to these guys, man. And I kind of want to make it to where it's like we beat them here and we turn it around and make this thing into a rivalry. We don't know what's going to happen down the line. You know, hopefully we'll see them again in the big show and, you know, win that one too. But as of right now and for this Sunday, man, just the fan in me needs this one. You know, I'll be working. Shout out to my job, USA North 811. Call before you dig. Tell the big boss, man, if he needs a sponsor, hit us up. But yeah, man, we need this, man. 49er fans, we need it. Cheers, boys.
Dude, thank you.
We'll be reviewing
and
that
I
tape. Yeah,
always
we'll be
call before I dig.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah.
And calling 811 is critical because the last thing you want to do is tap into a gas line, and then not only you have problems, but we all have problems.
Indeed.
Call before you dig.
But
thank you for that.
For real.
PSA.
For real. Okay, I love his answer because this is where I believe 49er fans are. We were thinking about this earlier in the week. Compare how you feel right now to how you felt going into Philly last year, and it's totally different. Many could argue it's like, oh, it's redemption, and it's the measuring stick that we need. And man, we walked in to Philly week last year peacocking, feeling it, and we were right. I mean, not everybody. You never get 100%. But there was a confidence going into that game that only slightly wavered when they came out and didn't look great in the first quarter and were down 6-0. But there was a confidence going into that game that I don't feel this week. And he says it well. The Niners are going to win this weekend because I need them to.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, you need them to. Like, I can't take this anymore. And that's a very different sort of emotional response from the fan base that I feel like a lot of people share.
And I borrowed that ethos today when I went on with the Kansas City station because they asked me, like, what are you guys thinking out there? What are the 49er fans feeling? And I told them what you and I had talked about on Wednesday from the Madden compound, which is Niner fans are kind of downplaying how big of a game this is because they don't want to get disappointed again. So if you say that it's not that big a game, it's just an AFC team and it's only week 7 and, you know, win or lose, you still have to go out there and handle your business and win the division and beat Dallas and all the rest of it. The more you say that and you do that, I think you're trying to downplay the game so as to lessen the disappointment. If you say this is a huge game and a must win, like so many people have said, and all the rest of it, and you go out there and you lose, now it becomes a bigger disappointment. And the Super Bowl, there's no way to downplay it. It's the freaking Super Bowl. So you don't have to build it up, nor can you downplay it because it's the Super Bowl. If you win, you get a Lombardi and you end 3 decades of drought. And if you lose, my God, we've done it again. And there's Andy Reid and Patrick Mahomes, and that's the Super Bowl. So I was just saying today on Kansas City Radio that very thing. Like, I'm sensing a lot of Niner fans downplaying this because of what the caller just intimated, which is, it's not that I want them to win. I do. I need him to win.
Yeah.
I need him to beat Kansas City. I need him to beat Kansas City.
The fan base's morale needs this. We haven't mentioned that this week. I really believe that that's a part of this. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if the fan base's confidence matters for a team. You can build that up over time. You've said this. Niners lose Sunday and then win the rest of their games. Well, then everything's fine. Everything's fine. You went 13-4.
Pretty good year.
And I'm pretty sure you won the division. I don't know if you got home field advantage, but whatever.
You've won 10 in a row.
Yeah, that would be wonderful. And so you can build it up. But for the moment, if the Niners lose this game on Monday, we wake up on Monday like lacking confidence in the local team. There's no way around that. And to a point that Emmanuel Acho made, the Niners have run out of, well, if they had just thrown the flag, because Bosa was being held, if you just make the extra point, If Burford hadn't gone, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Like, I will cop to that right now. I hear vow, none of that on Monday. You know I'm a process over result guy, but we've arrived at Resultsville. And so no context matters on Sunday. You have to have more points than the other team.
But what if there's another call? What if those damn referees are wearing red again with Chiefs logos?
No. Well, then that sucks. But I don't think that you can enter that into the conversation with ease.
Yeah.
Certainly not with ease.
Well, fans will, but I'm with you on that because, you know, you should be good enough or better than the opponent enough to weather almost any call or non-call that happens.
Check this out from Emmanuel Acho from FS1 and the facility. This was on Steiny and Goo today.
Let's think about this for a second, y'all. The Niners got beat at home in a blowout 2 years back.
Yep.
Then the Niners got beat in overtime close, a defensive slugfest at the Super Bowl most recently. Then the Niners were up by 10 in the fourth quarter in the Super Bowl and got beat. Chiefs 3 touchdowns in the fourth. The Chiefs have beat the Niners close. They beat them by a wide margin. They beat them in overtime. They beat them in regulation. We don't play this game anymore as Niners fans to watch the Niners win in a regular season. We know they can do that. We know they can win in the playoffs. At this junction in time, the only thing we actually don't know about the San Francisco 49ers is can they beat the Chiefs? We know they can beat the Lions. We know they can beat the Eagles. We know they can beat the Cowboys. We know they can beat the Packers. We know they can beat everybody except for the Chiefs. So the only thing that is important is winning this game.
And he went on to say sort of what you and I were just talking about, which is that this is sort of, if there's any slack left given to the 49ers in this matchup, it will be gone on Monday if they lose.
Like last year, the Niners roster was so legit, and they still lost in overtime. Like, this is, in my opinion, this is the last time that these Niners players can go into the game with legitimate confidence that they can win. If you lose again and you play the Chiefs going forward, it's false confidence.
Wow.
Let's just be real. Like, of course you go, yeah, we can get these boys. We can get these boys. But if you lose again, the next time you play the Chiefs, now you're just lying to yourself. Now, maybe you can win, but it will be false confidence. If I'm Shanahan, hey, we should have beat them in the Super Bowl. We went into overtime with the lead. We got to finish. We should have beat them in the Super Bowl before. We got to finish. If you don't win this time, now going forward, it's just false confidence, fellas.
Well, and I think this affects the...
That's an interesting notion.
Yeah, well, what do you think?
False confidence.
Okay.
What is false confidence? Because confidence is not a tangible thing. And for me, there's no such thing as false confidence. So you lose to Kansas City last year in the Super Bowl. You didn't lose to Kansas City in the Super Bowl if you're Malik Mustafa or Renardo Green or Ricky Pearsall. You didn't lose to Kansas City in the Super Bowl, so you come in this year, and maybe you lose to Kansas City in Week 7. Does that mean that you, as a rookie or as somebody who didn't play last year, you can't be confident going into the game? For me, there's no such thing as false confidence, because confidence is an intangibility.
I get what you're saying, but I think I understand what he's at least trying to say, too. And I'll again take it to, just for example, because you and I both love to play golf. And there's that phrase, fake it to make it. And I've always thought to myself, fake it to make it can work in certain aspects of life, but not confidence. And so if you are hitting the ball sideways and you try to have one of those famous talks with yourself on the golf course and you go, look, back to basics, like next tee box,
oh, yeah,
right? We're going to set this thing back on its axis and I'm going to just do what I know I can do. I'm going to hit the ball down the middle of the fairway. And the second you're standing over that ball, it doesn't work.
You can, it can.
I don't think
it's
it can.
It's allowed to work.
I don't think you can fake confidence.
Yeah, see confidence comes from within.
Right. You either have it or you don't. And I think you're not wrong with what you're saying, but what he's saying is it would be almost impossible to have it. It would be impossible to feel confident if they lose this one, and then they somehow end up facing them again.
It just depends on how it goes. And he referenced the game a couple of years ago, and I'm just looking back to refresh my mindset on the game log. And, you know, you had a game where the Niners were totally in control early, up 10-0, up 13-7, and Kansas City scores, and Jimmy Garoppolo drove you down to the 5-yard line. 3rd and 3 from the 5, you score, and then you're up 20-14 going into the locker room, and Jimmy G throws a pick. And they get a late field goal, and next thing you know, they get the ball to start the 3rd quarter, and the snowball rolled from there. So if you lose on Sunday, and it's a close game, and maybe something fluky happens, like a deflected pass, as Greg Cosell has told us, those are fluky plays, I don't think that that would shatter your confidence. Now, if you go out there and Kansas City manhandles you, and they scheme your little quarterback into 3 picks, and your offense looks bad, and Ayuk can't get open against man press, and Debo can't do a thing, and you lose this game 27-9, that's a different story.
I get where he's coming from here, because even if they lose a close one, that almost hurts you more. Because then you're almost looking up at the cosmos like, dude, this just isn't in the cards. Like, what are we doing? Like,
it's just one game, it's a different team.
But correct, for some of the players, not all of the players. Some of them, it's the first game. Some of them, it's the second one. Some of them, it's the 5th one.
Yep.
Right? It's different for each of them. But you do think that there would be scars if they were to lose another close game. Maybe not for the rookies, but remember, the last game was not just a game, it was the freaking Super Bowl.
Right, right.
That's painful. You don't get over that fast. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal Financing at the dealer.